Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to In the Cut.
Welcome to the November 30th episode of In the Cut. I am your host today, John Moore. Soren LaRue will be back with us in December. Got two different segments for you today. We've got a news segment that's going to incorporate a little bit of software news, hardware news, mobile app news, and maybe a little bit more. Also, we're going to be giving a little quick tip on Ableton Live in regards to dithering. So stay tuned, fasten your seatbelts, and let's get going.
Let's talk hardware, baby.
All right, here's a brief rundown of some of the newest hardware out on the shelves today in your local music store. Klaviyo has released yet another Nord called the Nord Piano. You can add this to their ever-growing line of synth keyboards. Price range is reportedly to be around $2,500 to $3,000 American dollars. SE Electronics. They have now came out with two new ribbon microphones, the VR1 and the VR2. Price range to be somewhere around $750 to $900 American. For those of you who are looking for a one-stop, one-shop type of scenario for a mobile studio, Presonus has come out with the one-box bundle, now available for $300 or a little less. It includes the HD7 headphones, the audio box USB, the M7 microphone, their XLR cables, a Samson BL3 stand, and the Studio One software.
Let's get mobile with our iPad, iPod, and Android devices.
All right. U-Loop's music composer now out for all of our Android lovers. It's a mini DAW for your Android phone. For all of our iPad lovers, we've got a slew of things that are either out or coming out. Harmonic Dog Multitrack DAW2. Multiple stereo tracks. You can actually import 32-bit audio waves, and it also includes AAC encoding. The price on the Harmonic Multitrack DAW is $9.99. Also, Line Grid. This is Touch Able's newest competition. They have similar features. The only difference is a little bit of a different look between the graphic interfaces. Going price for this app is about $24.99. Cytara Software AC-7 Pro. If you're looking to have a virtual mixer on your iPad that supports the Mackie Control Protocol, it can also be used in your DAWs like Pro Tools, Logic, and Digital Performer for only $4.99. It is virtually just a mixer that you can set up and run on your iPad. From Wisdom, we have Music MorphWiz. It's an iPad instrument incorporating multi-timbral sound and synth-like effects. Very spatial kind of synthesizer for your iPad. Price range is at $9.99. For all of you virtual DJs out there, Pajama House Studios has released Sonosaurus Rex. It's virtually two decks. Gives you the ability to use your iTunes library, and virtually looks like a neon version of Virtual DJ or Serato. Price for that app is $14.99. From Yonak, we have the Mini Synth Pro, 2 oscillator FM subtractive synthesis polysynth with XY pad, multiple types of additional modeling, a great little app synthesizer for $9.99.
Did I hear somebody was getting married?
We got a whole bunch of engagements going on in the music industry. For those of you who don't know, Nick Lachey has asked Vanessa Minnillo to marry him. And just 1 week later, we have Jessica Simpson being asked by Eric Johnson if she would marry him. Representatives from both sides are saying that it is purely coincidental. It is not staged. Reportedly, she was going around during her engagement party, though, asking the waiters, waitresses, if they liked her engagement ring. And reportedly, she was not happy with the enthusiasm that they displayed. So according to American Star magazine, Bret Michaels has finally popped the question to longtime girlfriend Christy Lynn Gibson. For those of you who haven't been watching the Life as I Know It show on VH1, Christy Lynn Gibson has been his on and off girlfriend for many years. And even during the time that Rock of Love was going on, he had been going out with her prior and post. So go figure. Reportedly, she has said yes to the proposal. If you have been watching the Life as I Know It series on VH1, you're probably going to see Bret propose to Christy Lynn sometime in the near future. And if it doesn't make it on TV, it probably didn't happen, because you know ratings are going to happen from that one. For those of you interested in American Idol, Kelly Pickler is now engaged to songwriter Kyle Jacobs. And also, for all of you Aaron Carter fans, reportedly he is engaged to teenage girlfriend Maylee Hukchuli. Hopefully I said that right. And that's all the engagements in the music industry I have for this episode.
You're now listening to Soren LaRue.
In the cut.
This is In the Cut with John Moore filling in for Soren LaRue. And now it's time for our second half of the show, our quick tips and hints for all of our DJ and producers out there.
Let's talk about that dithering.
Dithering is a great process. It helps preserve audio, but it could also help damage audio. So in order to understand this a little bit better, let me start by saying dithering is something that should be done once. It's usually recommended for a final stereo audio track. If you are rendering a master track in Ableton Live, one of the settings you would use would be one of the POW-R settings. These are supposed to be for the master stereo audio that is rendered on your final take. If you are just rendering a VST and then injecting it back into your DAW project to help clear up some of the CPU lag that's going on, then what we really need to do here is leave it at a 32-bit rendering with no dithering. Ableton Live internally processes things at 32-bit. If you take it down to 24-bit, you're actually going to take out some of the headroom that is already available. So we leave that at 32-bit, render it with no dithering, put it back into another track, deactivate your VST,
and voila, you have more CPU.
When you get to your final rendering what's coming out of the master, then we're going to get into the dithering portion of it. So we'll go to 16-bit at that point, or 24-bit, and we're going to use our POW-R for that one. If you're rendering from 24 to 16-bit, and it's not your final master, then at that point, you may want to go with the triangular dithering. All dithering really is truncation of audio. When you're rendering from a higher bit rate down to a lower bit rate, sometimes artifacts are injected into that recording. So dithering is a process that helps remove that. But there are certain types of dithering that are actually better than others. So hopefully these little bit of settings will help you in your journeys. And I invite you to come back next week. If you've got any questions, feel free to write in soren@sorenlarue.com. And we'll try to help you out as much as we can. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to